Go to the desktop.
Ready? I'd like to welcome you all to the special occupancy tax meeting. June 20th at 9 a.m.
Oh dear, I don't.
We're at the DCA conference room in Tallahassee, Florida. We are passing around a sign-in sheet. Please sign in. Call the meeting to order. Take roll call. John Hammer here. Jim Goodwin.
Here.
Cam Fentis.
Here.
Steve Watson. James Gregory.
Here.
Gene Schwecki.
Here.
Philip Wisely.
Here.
John Calpini. Frank Frail. Bob Vincent. And Jim Crochet.
Here.
We have an agenda. Does anybody have any additions or changes to the agenda? There will be one modification. 2322 will be taken up first, and then we'll follow the order of the agenda as printed. Bruce?
One other minor thing, too. I'd like to add on the where it says meeting objectives. Left out the word in minutes, so approve agenda in minutes. And there, you'll see those, the minutes are attached to your screen. And then they have Jim Crochet's name. Did you cover that?
Yeah, we have to have Jim Crochet's name to the tax members.
On the minutes, can I make a motion we accept?
Yes.
We're not.
Not yet.
We've got to approve the agenda first.
Sorry.
Okay. Got a motion to approve the agenda? That's modified?
No.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Before we get to the minutes, since we have a new TAC member, I would like to go around the table and introduce ourselves, just so that Jim knows who we are and what we represent. Jim, my name is John Hamrick. I'm from the Department of Education. I am the TAC chair. I'm also a building commission. I'm on the Florida Building Commission as a commissioner. I'm an architect, building official for public education.
Bruce Ketchum, Department of Community Affairs, staff to this TAC, and also commissioner.
Skip Gregory, Agency for Healthcare Administration.
Philip Wisely, architect with Division of Historical Resources and Department of State.
Iowa Jones, I'm administrator of codes and standards.
Cam Ventures, I represent a number of groups, Florida hospices, as Jim knows. I also represent Florida Roofing, Machine Metal, and Air Conditioning Contractors, and I'm the MIA. I don't know what type, what is it, like a provider, not a provider member, is it on the tag? Of an industry representative or something like that.
Industry.
Yeah.
Jim Bigelow, Department of Community Affairs staff.
And I'm Jim Crochet, Department of Elder Affairs. I do the rule writing for the department.
Gene Schlecki, Florida Department of Environmental Protection Engineer.
Jim Bigelow, Chief of Fire Prevention Division of State Fire Marshal.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Jim Ayotte. I'm with the Florida Manufactured Housing Association.
And who else did we have on the tech that's not here that would be helpful for Frank Frail? Just for Jim to know, get an idea. And Steve Watson, who's Steve? Isn't Steve Watson the Department of Corrections?
Group? No, he went to DEP a number of years ago.
Okay.
He's with Rackham Park.
I remembered everything the first day, and nothing has stuck since then.
Frank Frail from Pinellas County Schools. We have John Calpini, who's the Division of Elevators at EDPR, and he's going to probably be rotating off of the TAP because he understands he's
retired.
He's retiring. And Bob Vincent's from where?
Pools, Department of Health.
Department of Health.
I think public pools, right?
Right. Commercial.
We're basically state agencies. that deal with special occupancy requirements in the building code, that deal with state agencies, but we get to see a lot of other things. Also, we don't meet that often, as opposed to other taxes, basically when the building code comes up for changes in the rules.
Thank you.
No, we don't only meet here, Jim. Instead
of it's always in Tallahassee.
Turn it down the street.
Okay, we have to approve the minutes from our last meeting. They are available on screen or on the computer. Need a motion for approval.
I move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay. We have 12 amendments to take up today, which we received comments on. We can make recommendations to the commission to consider the changes. We're basically going to take amendments that have changes in the language, proposed changes in the language, general comments. We'll bring them up for a quick discussion and then probably take an action on them. Is that correct? We have a tracking chart and we have an agenda. Unfortunately, the agenda does not, we're going to be skipping all over the tracking chart. We'll probably give you some of that guidance on where we're going to be at. Do you have anything like this?
Yeah. First of all, the reason we did this, we kept the tracking chart intact. Just in case there were other comments as we went along, instead of cutting it down and pasting everything else. That's why we're jumping about. But I'll let you know, and the way we've got it set up, it'll be easy to do. I would say when you get, why doesn't everybody turn to their tracking chart now? And I'll give you an example of what we're going to do. This is the easiest way, good for you. If you go up, to, after you, is everybody on the tracking chart now? Just go back to tracking chart, don't go into the document yet. Okay. Everybody's on there?
Yeah.
Okay, if you go up to find, for instance, or excuse me, edit. Edit and then find. And as we go along, if we're taking, such as we're going to be taking 2322 first, just go type in 2322 and it'll come in. Mm-hmm. And then what you do, you have to you have to put your cursor on the number, on the on the link part.
Hyperlink.
And then, beg your pardon? And then control, and then it'll come up. When you do that, then you see exactly what we're talking about. And we're going to take up all the comments, unless they're general. But if there's a there's four comments, for instance, and one of them has some substance, we think, then we want to take it up and look at it. We don't have to take any action. We can just look at those and be no action, or there can be action taken. If there's action taken, then this will be a voting procedure, just like when we did before. And that action, all that is a recommendation on that specific modification or revision to the modification that will then go to the commission. This is what we've been told. So there's other things too, withdrawals, etc., that we cannot withdraw. The proponent only has to withdraw. So if there's several of those in there. One of them we'll take up as a department. The other ones, the proponent is not here, so we can only take that information and lateral it over there. Even if he's given us direction, for instance, to withdraw, we can't withdraw it. We can just agree with him to withdraw it, and then he'll have to withdraw it, or the commission can withdraw it at the time. Is there any questions on procedure or protocol? I'll answer any questions that I can as we go along. But one thing really important to remind that John mentioned or didn't mention in the end part is this is not an opportunity to re-debate. This is for new language to an already existing modification to a comment if it's going to improve it. That's what we're looking for. Nothing else. Yes, ma'am.
Is this an opportunity for us to vote on new language, or is this an opportunity for us to review and say yay or nay to new language that somebody else has already?
Sort of yes and no. Here's what I'm trying to say. If there's a modification that you've taken action on, a recommendation, And then within the 45 days, they've had a comment come in. Now we've got a comment that comments against or for that or whatever. If it's for that, I didn't put them on there. Because if it's as submitted, you know, what it just validates what they're doing. We had one of them with 42 comments saying this is a great deal. They're not on there. One that's opposing that, if it's not a general comment and it has some substance, we'll open it up and take a look at it. If you think that it enhances that specific modification, then yes, you know, you can choose to go ahead and have a comment that Joe will type in, you know, as part of that specific comment and add to it. And that will go as a recommendation to that specific modification. Probably won't happen very often. But yeah, you have the opportunity. Is that clear?
I think so, but let me tell you what I think I hear and see if it makes sense. When there's been a comment, or when there have been comments that are something other than just, you know, rubber stamping what we've already done, then you put them here. So it could be pro and con when there are comments, pro and con. And if there, one of the comments could be, I think it ought to be changed, and I think it ought to be changed in this way, and they give you suggested language. Now, I guess what I'm not understanding, and 2322 is a good example, it shows here, it shows the original mod, 2322, and then it shows 2322M, and I take it that means 2322 original mod as modified?
Y'all had the original, first of all.
Yeah.
And then we met and we modified that.
Yeah.
Or any of them. So when you see revised or modified, it's either 1, 2, and 3. 1, and then after that you're going to see a comment in the one comment period, the first 45 days, and then you'll see starting with 5, you know. So you'll see those comments. So we're only taking up the last bit of the comments. We're not rehashing the old comments. But to answer your question, yeah, we'll take the most current modification because that is the last one that we talked about and y'all voted on.
Okay, now I understand that part. So that today we're dealing with that, 2022M, and we've got the comments. Can we propose further modification to 2322?
I wouldn't talk about that specific one because that's going to be answered very, very briefly, very soon.
Okay.
But anything else, yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, I think I understand.
I have a question. That has 4 comments on it. Are we only going to be talking about the last comment or...
No. If it has, Skip is looking at 2322, for instance. It's the same one we're talking about. It's number one out of the barrel, which it'll be answered soon. But let's say that they were just say general comments, all of them. We'll take all the comments up. If they just said general comments to the side of them, like general comment 1, 2, 3, 4, then you don't have to. You say this is just a general comment. However, under comments, I can't see that, Rick.
Maybe comments. Right.
What does it say?
Comments do not provide, this is a staff language, I think.
Yeah, that's what I wrote,
staff,
but I just can't
staff,
see it.
Staff comment, this is staff comment to the comment. Comments do not provide a specific change to the proposal. It is the intent of the proponent to withdraw the proposed code language.
Okay.
Code change.
That's what I got out of all the comments. But mind you, that's staff comments. You can agree, disagree, y'all attack. You know, I'm just staff to it, and that's my analysis. So you'll see my analysis over there to the far right of all these things. Saying that, and I really don't want to get into the 2322 right now, even if it is the very first one, because we're going to make a comment to that, I should say a statement to that, very first. Any other comments, general comments to all the process and procedure?
On the chart, the AM means as modified, and then that's the vote.
And that's the vote.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've got, I'll go over that too. In front of you, you've got the proponent, which is Michael Ashworth, Department of Community Affairs. You've got the number 2322. You've got below that modified, and that's the one really that y'all voted on. And then you've got 4 comments, excuse me, and those comments are the comments from this 45-day period. I dropped the other ones. If you go on to the tracking chart on the system, you will not see, you'll see all those. You'll see the first 45 days, say 2 or 3, and then you'll see these 4. So these are just addressing what we're looking at now. And the next column, and thanks for bringing it up, is the section that's 428.4. So anything within 428.4 we can speak to if we're going to be talking to this. Anything outside of 428.4, unless it's in the modification, we cannot. Now, if it's brought up by a commissioner, for instance, at the commission, and somebody pulls it and said, I want to speak to this, outside because it's the language takes it, I need to know about this one here, takes it into chapter 19, 21, etc. So you can, the commission can take that up if they want to at that time. The next one here, the summary, gives you the idea here, defer to document 3, and etc. It tells you, gives you direction from that point. Then the next one is your vote from the original one, as amended, which is your last document down here, 2322M, and that's your vote 10-0. And then the staff comment, which is the analysis, my analysis. And from there, that's what you do. You work as this working document, each one. There's 12 or 13, right?
Just 12.
12. That doesn't mean there's only 12 modifications. 12 modifications, true, but you might have a lot more comments to that you can discuss. So, saying that, any other questions?
Bruce, we have 7 PAC members here. Yes. And the 75% vote,
right,
for a affirmative recommendation to the commission.
It means we all have to vote the same way, right?
It comes out to 5.25 votes.
Oh, for 75%.
For 75%.
Gotcha.
Is that 5 or 6?
6. Six. You round it off the highest.
You can have a letting of mine.
If in fact you get 5 votes for, and the other ones, it's going to have to go to the commission for a final decision. I mean, we'll record it now, the gentleman that just walked in?
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Chester Edwards.
Chester Edwards?
With Florida, Five Star Mobile Homes and Florida Manufactured Housing Association.
Welcome.
You need to sign in.
You need to sign in, let me give you an agenda. Oh, wait a second, I think I've got another one that's already started. Here you go. Did you sign into it, sir?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
Any other questions on the process?
Maybe after we get started.
Well, that's okay. Believe me, it vacillates as we go along, so I understand. And if any part of this is clear, then I've done a pretty good job. But don't hesitate to ask. Believe me, So we want to make it clear everything else. With that, I think we should go ahead and start with the first one.
Yeah, we took a few minutes just to go through it. We went through this yesterday, and it took me a while to understand it all. So we were asking questions back and forth. First one.
I'm going to address the first one.
Okay. First modification 2322, found on page 12 of the tracking chart. Isla?
Good morning. My name is Isla Jones. I'm the Codes and Standards Department of Community Affairs. And the department has decided to withdraw support for code modification 2322, and we will request that the commission reject this amendment.
So we'll withdraw. It's being withdrawn. We don't have to discuss it further.
Right.
Can we ask why? That's their position?
Go ahead.
Can you... Mr. Chair, can you ask them why that's the position of the agency to not support it?
After further, delving into the situation, we actually determined that we required a great deal more research before we requested this proposal, and we will be looking into it further. But at this point, we do need to research the issue more.
Chair, did DCA make this proposal in the first place?
Yes, it did.
Oh, I see. So DCA is withdrawing the proposal?
DCA is withdrawing their proposal, which they're allowed to do it.
They're the proponent.
And if I understand the rules correctly, whatever we do here, we're just discussing it. We can vote if we want, I guess. But really, the only thing that's going to make it happen is DCA itself. The same person or entity that came in and filed the mod has to withdraw the mod.
That's correct. They can withdraw it at any time. And the only thing that we can do here is make a recommendation to the commission at this point. commission has to decide whether to take a recommendation or not. I mean, this has to do with any of the modifications we're discussing. We're going to make a recommendation as a comment or to consider the comments.
So now do we, I mean, you know, do we need to hear from others before, are we ready to...
I don't think we're voting on this,
Mr. Chair. Yeah, no, my understanding is that we won't vote on this. This is just what the department's position is as a proponent or opponent. If there's other discussion, and there may be, you know, at the commission level, if it's not pulled, then it'll be withdrawn and as it be reported to the commission, and that'll be it. That's my understanding of it. So there's no really reason for discussion, and there won't be any discussion here on the issue.
Well, why are we bringing it up?
Because there was a public comment. Because there was a comment.
We have to.
During the 45-day period.
Can we just use this for sample voting?
Okay, why not?
I said I wanted to know if we could use this for sample voting. So it didn't matter anyway, if we just went and take a vote.
No, you're not allowed.
There's nothing to vote on.
Not permitted to take it.
Okay, 2469. Skip Gregory. And I believe you, it's on, looking on track chart, page 7.
7, I think. Well, first, this is Skip Gregory with Agency for Healthcare Administration. First of all, all of these editorial changes. I'd like to thank Ann Stanton for helping read this text in detail. Generally, what happened is that when I made the original modifications, the 2004 building code was issued, but the 2006 supplements had not, or at least I had not, had the final 2006 supplements to work off of. So this comment and some of the following comments are simply incorporating the 2006 language, 2006 supplemental language to the 2004 Florida Building Code, so that the actual modification that we voted on, 10-0, is not being changed. It's just that it's incorporating the 2006 supplement language. And Ann found those, most of these, actually. She found all of them, actually.
This is really just correcting and making sure that it's tied to
right.
The current.
To the current 2006 supplements.
Now, did we vote on these?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're changes. They're changes to the language.
The changes to the language, but it's editorial as I
put it. Is it time for me to make the motion?
I got one question first, Skip. Mm-hmm. In revision 2, you changed one. Section 105 to section 1050.
I think that's an X3. The last zero is X3.
It's
I didn't
X3.
See that initially either. Is that a strike through on the last zero?
Let me see. Are we looking at the, what are we looking at here?
I was looking at the revision 2. There's a revision 2
That's
a
strike through.
It's a
strike through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Revision 2.
I'm
trying to figure out where you're at.
Yeah, you want to make sure you go toggle back and forth and make sure that nothing else is.
Yeah, that was the correction. That was the edit. That was a misprint or a typo. It should be 105 is the correct section. So that's a strike through on the last. Make it correct.
Okay, so I need a motion.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
First, this is referencing 419, and 419 is still referring to chapter 4A as the uniform fire standard, and that chapter can change to 69A. Is that something that's going to be directed
drive the document.
Can I make a comment to that? Does that require a change to chapter? What was the
well, 419 would be the change, but I think because it's statutory driven, I'm not sure it takes action here. I'm just asking.
I don't think it does, and that was the point. I lost your numbers, but I think that was my point, was that it wasn't some other tack, you know, for the building commission responsible, or maybe that's an administrative change where they update and correct the references to things like the fire
code. Would that apply to the fire
code? No, it's referring to our old rule chapter.
59-year-old rule
chapter? 40 is our old rule chapter, and now everything... All of our rules are 69.
It's 69A53 is what I'm looking at, 419.2.1.1.
Right, but I'm looking at the actual code language, 419.2.1, and it's referring to
59A.
Yeah, 419.2.1.1
is referring to 4A. Yeah, this modification says 59A.
Correct, and it's saying that all of these facilities shall be in compliance with these standards, and then it lists the standards following that. The very first one is 4853.
Wait,
You're looking at the code itself.
Right, I'm in the code itself.
At the current code.
Correct.
You have the current code? Because I'm the current code is, I believe, is 69. You know, let me get
is that
back
a 4
up
or 69?
It looks like a 4 to 9.
That's the screen. It says 69853.
Yeah, that's in 2004 with the 2006 supplement. It should say 69853.
Well, maybe this.
Maybe looking at the old 2003 code, maybe.
Okay.
Yep.
You make your motion.
I move we. Somebody correct me if I'm saying this wrong. I move we accept this mod as modified based on comments. Is that what this is?
Yeah. And the other thing, too, maybe to help a little bit, if you don't mind, is accept the language change within comment. Is it comment one?
All right. I move we accept this modification as modified and accept the language change as articulated in comment one.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Please? Okay, so that's, we got 8, right?
We have 7.
7.
7-0. And Jim, do you have that? We have to make sure that Jim has everything.
Based on the comments made at comment one, if that sounds right, that's potentially right.
Okay. I'll change that. That works.
And the vote is 7-0. Jim, yes?
Yes.
Do you have the vote in there?
Joe.
Okay, next one is 2471. It's found on page 8 of the tracking chart. And we have one comment.
And this is Skip Gregory again. That it's the same kind of issue as the previous comment. The language that was actually modified as our comment was language that was in the 2004 building code, sans the 2006 supplements. This comment corrects it, remains the same, basically what we did. It just puts in the 2006 supplemental language and then deletes it so that it's looks correct in the final analysis. It's the same. There's no change to the modification of 2471.
This may be out of line here, but under 419.3.2, I think it is, after the red stricken through shall be, and then it could come down after the line after that where it says may, underline, and then B, there should be a space in between those two. I don't know if that's, you know, an old thing and therefore can't be brought up or what.
That's editorial, but we can note it.
Yeah, that wasn't in the comment on this particular comment didn't address that editorial.
And what I have shown on the screen shows the space in there.
I didn't
put it in. What? No, on the screen, showed it.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I looked at the wrong one. I'm looking at M.
Look at comment 1.
Oh, on comment 1. Oh, so we'd be adopting comment 1.
Right.
Here. Okay, well then, just grab it here.
Any other discussion?
There's one, I can take this off or something, but there's one that's in blue, but it's still stricken, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. Was that old, new language that was there, and now it's stricken, taken away? Is that correct? Skip?
I have no idea.
The only thing that we
were working on was a paragraph above that.
Can we go back to the original, as the one that we voted on, Joe? We want to make sure that's in there, if it's new language or it's...
Do we have the 2004 Florida Building Code with the 2006 supplements here? Is this what?
Joe, is it on there? I mean, is it on the laptop there, Building Code?
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. The feature is in the, again, I think that was something that was in the 2006. It looks like features in the Building Code. So that's the reason, I guess it's in blue. It was put back, that word was put back. That was the original word. That's the existing word in the Building Code.
So you have to put it back in to strike it.
So you have to put it back in to strike it. It's in the Building Code now. That's the way the Building Code, particularly feature, is the way the Building Code reads now, presently.
So it's okay. You don't have a problem with that.
No.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
I'll move that we accept this modification as presented in comment 1. Is that right, Bruce?
Yes.
Language.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Vote 7-0. 2596 is found on page 10 of the tracking chart.
We remember this. It's a minute. I think we. Let me try to remember what we did here. I think we just. Yeah. This comment, again, is just trying to strike the correct language that's presently in the Building Code, and all we want to do is to reference Chapter 30 of the Florida Building Code and get away from trying to reference any other rules, since they seem to be a moving target. So If we just reference chapter 30, then the chapter 30 and the Florida Building Code references the correct rules that don't let the elevator people keep up with chapter 30. So that's it was really just put language back again. That's presently in the Building Code.
Any discussion? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
I move we accept this modification as described in the comment letter.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
You got it, John?
1984 is found on page 11.
And Big Brother is watching you.
And we're dealing with comment number 4. This is a proposal for Palm Beach County to modify a requirement that has been in the state rules for educational facilities. As far back as I read, I think that trace was in the mid-1960s. The Department of Education is not in favor of this modification. The proponent seems to think that this is a new requirement. It's a requirement that has been in the code for many, many years. It's one that's been interpreted for many, many years. If you have an assembly occupancy of 5 or more people that requires 2 means of egress or more, it is required to have separate atmospheres for each means of egress. We find this to be a great safety feature for our schools and exiting what assembly size spaces.
Chair, I have a question. Sure. On this comment 4 that I guess comes from Palm Beach County,
right.
In the red language they say, as a compromise to Palm Beach County, blah, blah, blah. What is the as a compromise? Are we negotiating, or did I miss that, or what?
We are not negotiating.
They just decided they were going to offer up a compromise?
Yeah, they talked to me about this before. I told them I do not support it.
So what they're doing is they're proposing a compromise based on,
our discussion. Bruce?
Yeah, the only other thing I want to allude to, just because it's in red, the only thing that they can do here, procedure-wise, is the underline. The other thing, they're just basically giving information, but that's not new language, just the exception only. Unless there's something down below here, I can't remember. We have to stay with that process, so it has to be either underlined or deleted, or underlined or stricken.
Skip first,
yes, as I understand the language that they'd like to insert, they want to continue this separate atmosphere issue for anything over 100 occupants, but when you have a classroom of less than 100 occupants, then they want to not have to put in that additional construction requirement of a separate atmosphere. Is that the way y'all understand this? Is that
what they want to do?
And I'm not that familiar with the life safety code in this section, but does the life safety code itself require these separate atmospheres for these particular types of occupancies? I mean, would this be modifying, I guess my question is, would this modify the life safety code or just modify a Florida rule?
This is specific to public education facilities. It has been in DOE's rules since
it's
not NFPA. NFPA doesn't require the second atmosphere.
NFPA doesn't require it, okay.
Public education requirements have required it. That continue. The only thing actually we're doing with the original modification is to clarify language because of the unique interpretation that came across this last year, where technically the person was right, but the way the department enforces the requirement, it was not right. We're just trying to get the language to go along with the way we're enforcing it. Jim?
My only comment was, I'm not sure this is an unreasonable requirement because you can technically have an assembly at 51 people. Mm-hmm. If you have a band room that seats 51 people, you have to add a fire door or pull out 2 seats. Just to me, doesn't seem reasonable. So I'm not so sure this is not an unreasonable request. No exception.
Yeah, I come back and this is what we have done since the 60s. It's not a new requirement, it's an existing requirement. For some reason, Mr. Hogarth thinks it's a new requirement. I keep on telling him it is not.
Can I ask another question? Are all schools required to be sprinklered now?
No.
So we still have many schools that are not sprinklered?
Yes.
But in the comment here, he's saying 30 years ago, fewer schools were built with automatic sprinklers. Do you know how many schools are built with sprinklers or as opposed to not?
I can't answer it because we don't track it.
Oh, you don't track that. And that's up to whether they're built with sprinklers or not. What is that?
It depends on meeting building code requirements. Mm-hmm. It also depends on the availability of water and the jurisdiction you're in or the district you're in.
Probably also depends on whether or not you're going to get an insurance bill that's significantly lower.
Yeah, I would see it. Insurance rates.
Insurance doesn't vary in schools. Self-insured.
And the water is like an issue. Like I know that in some cases when you're sprinkling a building, if you get a tank or a cistern or something, that they'll, let you do it.
We went up against this issue about sprinkling several years ago, and it's a big contention in a lot of districts. And what happens if you have to bring the water 5 miles down the road? Increase water service. You can spend more, increase your water service to sprinkle a building than it costs to build a building. And we're talking about buildings are, schools are costing $12 million to $130 million.
One other question.
And using tanks and stuff, it becomes a big maintenance problem.
I got one school district that tried it one time and they'll never do it again because of the maintenance factors involved. It's just taking so much money away from other needs that they have. Then you got the issue of sprinkler buildings like in South Florida right now where the water pressure is being dropped because they don't have the water sources right now to fit the needs. And what happens to your sprinkler system when that happens? Yep.
So years ago, the department decided that they wanted to add a more restrictive requirement to educational occupancies than the life safety code has, and they instituted or wrote into the rule this I'm looking at the little diagram that the proponent of the comment has shown us here, so that any classroom over 50 people would have to have a two exits, which is required, of course, for over 50 people, but would also have to then exit into a corridor. This is what I remember the discussion from last time, but would have to exit into a corridor, into two separate, what we would call compartments of the corridor. So you have more doors, more doorways in the corridor, so you have to build additional doorways in that corridor system to exit them. I was just wondering if that original thing, if that was ever based on any particular issue, or I was curious where that requirement of exiting into two separate atmospheres would have come from. You know, John?
Happened way before I started with DOE. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the history of how it came about. I know it's there because we did. Is a safer means when you have some children involved and trying to exit to get an assembly occupancy of even 51. And it gets worse than this. I mean, I told Tom his example here is a bad one. You got two classrooms that hold 30 people in it, and you put a folding partition between the classrooms. When that partition is open, you now have an occupancy of 60, which means you have to have smoke doors in the corner. You have the same number of people coming out, but we have the smoke doors. And we've had it that way for a long, long time. The people coming into the facility, such as parent night, they're not familiar with the facility, and it's opened up, and it provides an additional degree of safety for those people that exit if the corridors blocked by smoke. Most of our fires occur in public areas. Trash cans and corridors are in open air bathrooms. They immediately permeate out into the corridor and compromise the integrity of that corridor.
You go to other hockey seasons, players don't occur there. Jim?
I was just going to say it was originally back in fire codes prior to sprinkler systems. And as sprinklers came along, because history has shown that sprinklers control most fires with one or two sprinkler heads, and then that exception, or similar exception, if you will.
And he's already written that into his comment here, that it would only be for fully sprinkled. Oh, okay. I missed that. Okay. Okay. So it'd be only fully sprinkled buildings.
Right. So if you're sprinkling the building, it's a way of saying you should get something for it. And like I said, I don't think a 100 person applicant knows that's
Any further discussion?
That's one of the comments. I would certainly want to do anything that I would feel would encourage sprinkling of more buildings. Because sprinklers have been shown to be so effective in controlling fire as well as actual smoke in the buildings.
Do I have a motion?
Not for me, because I can't understand this well enough.
I'll make a motion to accept the exception, accept the comment.
That's correct, you're right.
One. Comment one.
You got a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. I'm the only negative. 6-1. $2175, found on page 14 of the traffic charts. Comment one. So this is just a general comment?
Yeah, mind you, just, if you mind.
Yes.
Again, this is a general comment. You can just look at it, consider it, not consider it. But as far as we're concerned, it doesn't do anything, doesn't change anything. It's nothing significant as far as staff is concerned.
What does it say?
Well, retardant treated wood would be acceptable.
In a particular setting, that for some reason it's not acceptable.
In schools. As I recall the discussion from last time, the Department of Education didn't want to use fire retardant treated wood, not because it wasn't fire retardant treated, but because of the longevity of the product, I think was the...
The wood wouldn't last as long as they expected it would.
Steel or some other non-combustible type. Well, fire retardant treated wood is basically considered non-combustible.
So we can just say so noted and move on?
That's right.
So noted and move on?
No action. Okay, 2177 is on page 11. We're taking up comment one, and this is just a general comment. No, this is my comment, isn't it? No action is really needed on this. This has already been taken care of.
Seventy-seven.
2178 is on page 5.
We didn't do anything on 2178 because we did nothing on 2177?
We approved 2177.
There's no action on 2177.
It's not approved.
Oh, 2178 is making reference to the original approval of 2177.
Right.
So we do have to take action on 2178.
Well, they're tied. You got to read that last comment there. You'll see how they're tied in together. Yeah. And these are kind of important to understand or read and make sure you do look at them all. You know, if a proponent wishes to withdraw modification 2178, the staff agrees with the proponent. Section 4.23.11.2 was deleted by modification 2177 and thus is no longer needed.
If the proponent's withdrawing it, do we have to make any action?
Well, you can't take action on his withdrawal because he's not here.
So you can
say you agree with the comment, you can agree with the staff's opinion, that's it.
I mean, the staff's opinion.
Big one?
I agree with the staff's opinion.
Got a motion?
That's a motion.
Yeah.
Got a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? 7-0.
You okay there, John?
So, if 2178, we're just going to say that the vote was to agree with the staff's position?
Agree with staff's opinion.
2179, it is right below it. And again, this is the same thing. We just did with 2178.
I'm going to agree with support staff recommendation.
Seconding.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. 7-0.
Same thing?
Yes.
2180 is also on page 5, and that's same thing.
The pro wishes to withdraw, blah, 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 yeah.
I lose that recommendation.
Maybe they were good for something there.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, hold on. I got to do the second first.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Make that staff opinion if you don't mind. Not recommendation.
2181 is on page 14. This is a general comment.
Looks like he's trying to get rid of a redundancy here of verbiage.
Is that right? You got 2181 up there, John?
Is there a request to reconsider 2181?
That's general comment again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're debating the same issue again.
Let's see here.
Post disaster redevelopment?
Nope. It's another disaster.
Yeah.
And mind you, too, that if you're on 2181, correct?
Right.
That this was one of the ones that voted 0-10 did not accept, but it had a second, that's why it's here. The ones that didn't have a second at NAR,
we don't have any of those.
We don't have them. But if you see NAR, that means that it must have had a second and it had a comment, that's why it's here. So you can just.
Just a general comment, general comment issue.
You know, you get. If somebody wants to, if Joe Holland shows up, for instance, give you an example. At the commission meeting, and a commissioner pulls this, then it can be discussed.
Based on the comment here, it's a moot point because the issue is already addressed in the first place.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
Because one of you here.
It's already addressed in the code.
Right, it's addressed in the code.
It's already addressed in 2177 also, with their action 2177.
I think he's just saying it's redundant, but I don't know if it's redundant. Is it 2311? Because the 2311.7 really talks about wood studs, not about fire retardant treated wood.
Well, read the comment there. This is his comment. This is not staff's comment. So the second part of that is in section 423.11 already states that fire retardant treated wood cannot be used except for roofs and ancillary buildings.
Well, that's not really what 23.11.7 says right now. I'm looking at it here, and it says interior non-load-bearing wood studs or partitions shall not be used in permanent educational or auxiliary facilities or relocated buildings. So their Department of Education doesn't want wood studs in any buildings, whether they're fire-retardant treated wood or not. They just don't want them. And I think if we eliminate that language, I'm not sure what happens. I'm not that familiar with the rule, but I would think maybe we don't want to.
Well, take a look at the original one. Take a look at your original, what you voted on, and see if that effectively does that. Because remember now, this is what you voted, 0-10 originally.
Well, we voted not to accept the modification, which would delete that section.
Right.
Section
23.11.7. We voted to keep that language in the code,
right.
And I think the language is different. It doesn't have anything to do with fire retardant treated wood.
Well, then it
just happened to be under the fire retardant treated wood subsection of 423.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And we also have another proposal that moves it from the fire retardant treated wood section to another section of 423. Which we accepted.
So that effectively does what he wants? Or?
It does. Joe Howell wants to remove the restriction on wood studs. The Department of Education wants to keep the restrictions.
So no action, in essence, keeps it the way DOE wants it.
Right.
It keeps it the same as the vote originally, and the comments just general, no information, just goes to the new line. If he wants to debate again, and somebody pulls it, a commissioner pulls it, well, you can, then that is, otherwise it just be.
I'm moving on.
I like that.
No action.
General comment, no action. Did we get a vote on it?
I don't think you need to. There's no
that's
action.
True, that's true. My bad.
No motion, no action. 2087 is on page 15. And we have two comments on this, and
one of them from FEMA and Jeff.
I believe it was a Mr. Hogarth's comment. Both of them are from FEMA. They want to keep the 40 mile an hour increase restriction. These again are general.
The reason there's nothing on there is staff's comment is because basically it was voted down by the town and it's opposing the action taken by the town. So it has to be in there, but there, I have no comment to it except for it's just opposing the action taken by y'all.
Is it opposing or supporting it?
Well, it says opposed modification to revise or eliminate. See in the center there in yellow?
Opposed modification to revise the text we voted to not accept this. No further recommendation, which means the text stays in.
Right. So the text in that, in the first comment, based on a research document, blah, 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 that was his recommendation.
I see what the difference is. In the first paragraph, he wants to make a requirement that be 40 miles an hour above base wind speed.
Yeah, there.
This comment two.
Comment two.
Comment two. Yeah. shift.
Let me see if I can understand this now. We the code right now requires Department of Education buildings used for EPAs to add in their design to add a wind speed of plus 40 miles per hour as an as a factor over the design speed. Is that
it's a recommendation.
It's a recommendation.
It's not a requirement.
It's a recommendation. Okay.
There are some districts that do it, there are others that do not.
And this modification that we voted on eliminates that recommendation.
No, the modification we voted on kept the recommendation in there. This comment,
it's struck through, though.
This well, I mean, comment that he's submitting strikes through the recommendation portion.
Right. Well, I'm looking at what delete recommendations on shelter wind speed. Oh, I see. NAR means.
Right. We, yeah,
not to do it.
Okay. Right. We voted to keep the language the way it currently is written in the code.
But it is a bit confusing, so you do need to look at both the comments and make sure you agree. But that's where I came out of it, looking at that and saying, oh, yes, no. And then I looked at. Came right back to square one saying, hey, this is NAR. You know, you all didn't agree to do it. That's why I think it's an opposition to your vote.
And you're recommending it, not requiring it. Is that the...
Oh.
The DOE's recommendation is to keep the text the way it is today.
Right. But you're recommending this, not requiring that they have the 40 plus.
Right. It's a big contention for school districts.
Okay.
Big cost consideration.
Okay.
This comment... It's on the board from Scott Zach, as I understand it, makes it a requirement. Takes out the recommendation now and
keeps the recommendation. Comment two
takes
it
out. It makes it a requirement. Mandatory. Yeah, it makes it mandatory.
And DOE's position is that it be recommended.
That it be recommended.
Only.
Only. We don't support this comment that's shown.
Both of them are okay.
Which one?
Don't support the comments. You want to take a one by one by.
Okay, wait a minute. Can I just have a second to read this rationale here on the comment from FEMA? So I guess the FEMA's contention is, if I may, excuse me, make a comment.
Sure, excuse
me. I guess the FEMA's contention is that if you're going to design an enhanced hurricane protection area in a public school structure, that you should or shall. Actually make it an enhanced hurricane protection area, and one of the things that you would do to do that is to build that area above the minimum design speeds, design wind speeds that are done for all facilities, so that you actually would have an enhanced hurricane. If you didn't do that, if you didn't build above the minimum recommendations or the minimum standards, if you didn't build above 40, if you didn't use the 40 mile per hour increase in design speed, then I guess their contention is, correct me if I'm wrong, you really wouldn't have an enhanced hurricane protection area. You would just have whatever the building is designed to.
Well, because there are other requirements in the enhanced hurricane protection area besides just the wind speed limit.
That seems to be an important.
We have schools that have been designed to the EHPA requirement, minimum wind speed requirement, without the 40 mile per hour enhancement that have survived storms with no damage. Because of there's other factors besides the wind speed. We had Hurricane Charlie went through three districts. And I visited those districts right afterwards, and the shelters, that buildings that were designed as shelters, as EHPA, survived.
I'm confused.
Other buildings that were adjacent to it did not survive.
I'm confused. In terms of this, what is FEMA objecting to having the language that says recommended that you go up by 40 over whatever the...
They want to make it mandatory.
Yeah, can you scroll down that just to look at their rationale? And they mentioned some things about Hurricane Charlie there. There we go.
I have another question. The EHPA design, is that a FEMA ICC design? It's not a Florida building code design.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is specific to Section 423 of the building code. It's a legislative mandate.
Okay, you just answered my question.
And I think
the wind speeds were highly debated when they were developed. And that, with the development, the recommendation for the higher wind speed came in. It was accepted. It was a compromise for all parties.
Oh, I see. There. And they're saying that ICC 500, if you add the 40 mile per hour, that will be close to the proposals for shelter standards. That's what that
the
was.
ICC 500 has not been adopted by the state yet. Right.
And I object to anything that's pure ICC for the sake of ICC.
Is this requirement imposed on any other occupants in other schools?
No. It's specific to public educational facilities.
But because?
It's schools, community colleges, and I believe universities.
Where they have the, where they develop their enhanced hurricane protection areas. But didn't DCA write the requirements for that?
It was done in cooperation with DCA and DOE. Yeah. It was done jointly. Not every facility is an EHPA. Not every building that's built is an EHPA. Right. Where they're located and needed is determined by the local emergency management in the school district. And each district is handling it differently. Some, every new construction is in EHPA. Others, they have made arrangements. A case in point would be Palm Beach County, which we discussed before. They went to emergency management and said, we will build every high school in the future as an EHPA. If we don't have to build any other school as an EHPA, or emergency management accepted that proposal. And that's what they're doing.
They what is
100% of the high school is an EHPA.
What, didn't Danny Kilgallen's work on that?
Sure. Danny and I work together.
What does he say about the... Does DCA have an opinion on this at all?
No comment.
It's not very helpful.
Well, I mean, you know, we put it out there for everybody to comment on. You know, that's the best we can do, Scott. Well, we voted and received a few comments. You can say no, it is no action really, or you can say you can defer it to the commission. But it is, to me, if you do something, you're going to have to say, are you amending the amendment, or are you just accepting which one of these comments, or both of the comments, in part or in whole? So again, you know, we've got to be real careful about where the debate part comes in here. You know, you can accept it, that's fine. With the language the way it is, we can tweak it a little bit, but the proponent's not here, so it's hard to, you know, you can take the language out and say, this is our own, and make your own comment and vote on it. You can do that.
Why can't we just support the initial tax?
You can. You absolutely can.
Well, I move to support the tax.
Or take no action, and by doing that, you're supporting it.
No, actually, I think it's better to, in this case, because you've got two sides, right. I think it's better to affirmatively support the original action, because that sends a message that we do actually have an opinion, and it is this.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Okay, do you have a second?
Because this is
second.
So, let me do that again.
I move to support the original action.
You got that, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be,
which was to,
to deny the request.
To maintain the code as it's currently written.
Right. and I somehow...
And that is a recommendation.
It's a recommendation.
Okay, well, yeah. Then that would be...
Point is recommended, not mandated, right?
Right. That would be to support comment one. So the recommendation is just...
No, just support the original tax action.
Support. The original tax action on 27, which was to deny it.
No affirmative recommendation.
Oh, I see.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
6-1.
Did you get that, Joe?
Skip, were you the devil?
Yes.
That concludes all of our business.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, it looks so good.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Do we have any further...
Yeah.
Any further business to attack?
Darn.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you, Father.
Say aye.
Aye.
See, Jim, what do you think of that meeting, Jim?
This is quite good.
It's very different than
most of our... You know, usually they're more fun because we know better what we're doing. We don't have to think so hard like we have.